CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
The following podcast contains graphic language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
For over 5 years, with over 200 episodes, the North American Wrestling Connection,
the
worldwide leader in talk entertainment. And now, WrestleChat.net presents the North American Wrestling Connection, bringing you...
Oh. Relax, everybody. Let's have a party.
Hava, Nagila, Hava, Nagila, Hava, Nagila, Vanishkima. Hey! Hava, Nagila, Hava, Nagila, Hava, Nagila, Vanishkima.
Horace Weir! Horace Weir! Horace Weir!
Coming soon to your next episode of Is This Offensive? However, that is not our show tonight. This is the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. My name is Nikki Heyman, and we have our usual handful of hooligans here, starting with a gentleman who was also celebrating earlier this week, Mr. Jason Block.
May Seamus Finkelstein be inscribed in the Book of Life for another year. May he be forgiven for all the sins that he have committed in the entire year. Wow, I cannot believe I just said that.
Over here on the other side of the table, somebody who decided to fill in a seat for me, Tom Delgado.
Good evening, Nikki, and good evening, morning, afternoon, whatever, to all of you out there listening.
And, of course, we have a fourth, and who else could it be but fourth?
I just have to say, Seamus Lipschitz was one of the best segments that we might never talk about that much again.
'Tis a shameful thing, but, nah, no one lost their heads that day. Oh, although admittedly, Del Rio almost lost his at Night of Champions.
Mm-hmm.
And a few of us almost lost our minds given the show. I enjoyed it for what I saw of it. Unfortunately, Casa del Heyman lost power for approximately 30 minutes. I'm not sure if it was a blessing or a curse because it cut off just before Ziggler Orton. And then came on late in the Divas match, so...
I'll say curse, because the Orton-Ziggler match was supposedly very good.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, the show overall, what I saw of the show overall was very, was quite good. I was, you know, it was money well spent for me. Thankfully, that money wasn't spent in the betting pool, because I wouldn't have won much. First of all, it looks like Stat Boy didn't give anybody a point for the Cena Punk match because of the convoluted finish. And I'm not sure what's more convoluted, Tom, the fact that it was a draw or the fact that I saw John Cena do a freaking middle rope German superplex with a bridge. What?
Whoa. Could you run that by me again, please?
Okay. Middle rope.
Right.
German superplex.
Yes.
With bridge.
Whoa.
Your head explode.
My head explode. Now try this on for size, though. He did it with a rolled ankle.
And apparently a busted up elbow. But the fact that it's been shattered. John Cena's learned more than four moves.
I don't believe it.
So anybody, whoever's using that as their avatar on the fan boards, you're going to have to take it down, man. It's wrong. Seriously, I rewound. I'm glad I was recording it. I rewound the DVR to watch it again because I still didn't believe it.
Do you still believe it now?
They showed the stills on SmackDown, and I'm just, again, mind blown. But since it was a draw and not a clear win for Punk, nobody got points for that. Also, nobody got points for the women's match because Caitlyn was attacked backstage, Nancy Kerrigan style, and is out with tendon damage in her ankle. So somebody who wasn't even on the list wins the Divas belt. We actually had a couple people get the U.S. title opponent correct. We had three people get that right. Wasn't me. And absolutely zero wild cards played.
You! That sounds like bowling shoe ugly.
Well, granted, three or four of the people who played wild cards played the same card, Ziggler cashing in.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, oh well.
And unfortunately, let's see. It was Stat Boy who went for the big win tried to call that Lawler would have been at the pay per view. Was unfortunately canceled out late Saturday or early Sunday when it was found out that he was still in the hospital. So the remaining ones, somebody was expecting them to shoehorn a Ryback Mahal match into the show. Didn't happen. Somebody else thought that Sheamus wasn't going to be allowed to use the brogue kick, but he was going to do it anyway. What was the other one? Ricardo interfering in the match but costing Del Rio. So yeah, no wild cards. So for the scores, Ethan is at the absolute bottom of the pile because he only got one.
Yes, I'm not last.
And I think that's the real reason he's not on the show tonight.
Oh, ouch.
VRM also declined to fill in the seat that Mr. Delgado is in because he's at second to last with three.
Decent score, though. Three is okay.
So, myself and Statboy and Typho and Forth and Jason, we are all in this great big knot square in the middle for four.
All right, I'll take that.
Tom? You did very well on your first soiree into the Pick'ems. You and Tyler Brown tied with five.
Shocking.
Wow! Not bad. Good job.
Not at all. Not bad. I'll take it.
So, with that, I must now award the NAWC Fizzleweight Champion to somebody who might want to jump himself off of mute because our winner tonight is our recorder, Mr. Jim Williams.
Woohoo! Yes! Yes!
Yes! 30-year dream! I'm only 28, so go figure it out.
But yes, now you can walk around with a smile on your face and say,
"Well, champ, you know, I bet you can't beat me."
Why did I do that? I set myself up for that. I asked you before the show, not that I'm a pro. I'm done. I'm done.
Seriously, Jim, congratulations. Good job.
But yes, indeed, congratulations to Jim Williams, who is probably going to kill me once he finishes editing this show.
I know people in Minnesota, just remember that. Just saying.
I'm well aware, but you do not know where I live, and you do not know the cost of toilet paper.
I know the cost of toilet paper. I watch The Price is Right. Come on now. I've seen people bid $420 on it. Come on. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
By the way, I will say one thing about Night of Champions, and I saw the pictures. I want CM Punk's outfit for the night. That was brilliant.
So, Brooklyn, look out, world, because coming soon, Jason Block will be rocking some Yankee pinstripe tights. Yeah! Oh.
I dare you to walk around in Times Square dressed like that.
Oh, no. God.
Okay, that's some brain bleach action, but no, but seriously, no, that's a great one-off. That's a very great one-off.
Indeed.
Nikki, the brain bleach, please.
Oh, I apologize. You're absolutely right. That's the button. Brain bleach! So, I'll skip past the pinstripes and go to some of the other nonsense from the pay-per-view and the fact that we all are enjoying the new tag team champions. Team Friendship is Magic. I mean, team therapy.
I swear, one more and I'm going to stop this recording. I swear.
Oh, you're going to stop this recording, you're going to turn the podcast around, and you're going to go home, right? Is that what you're going to do to me, Jim? I'm not afraid of you, Jim. I really am not.
Oh, my goodness.
Now then. Now let me just ask, who else here watched the pay per view by whatever means necessary?
I did.
Okay.
I watched later on YouTube, and some of the matches are actually very good.
So, given the finish of the tag team titles match, first of all, the fact that they were picking on Kane for actually doing a splash. But this wonderful, volatile chemistry that they are continuing to build with Kane and Bryan.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I like it. I really do like it. I mean, it's entertaining. I like how Daniel Bryan is, like, so opposed to all this stuff. Like, I'm the champion! No! And Kane's like, no, I'm the champion! It just works. It's very entertaining.
And Jason, it seems we're playing 2 7-year rules here. One, a tag team where the members essentially do not like each other.
Right. That's the Austin Triple H, Austin Angle. You can go from there.
Matt Hardy MVP. Also,
Foley at the beginning.
Yeah. There you go. The other rule I'm looking at is the fact that we've got Goofy Canaanite Kane back.
I don't mind.
Trust me, this is not a complaint. This is by no means a complaint. Little things like, you know, the fact that he was goofing around and just set off his pyro just to distract Bryan during his singles match on SmackDown. The argument they were having where he threatened to rip the goat beard off.
Well, you were also getting the fact you also had the Gatorade bath after winning the tag team titles.
Well, there you go. Where, you know, Dr. Shelby's like, look, you know, you guys won, you know, show some decorum. And Daniel Bryan turns to Kane and says, congratulations. Kane storms off, and we're like, what? And he comes back and then douses him with Gatorade, and it was like... oh, good. I laughed. I enjoyed that.
It's one of those, I know it's going to implode in one of them turning into the other, but it's just too awesome just to hate right now.
And on that, with one turning against each other, that reminds me a little bit of Rock Jericho, where you're standing there going, somebody turn already!
But now I discussed this with you earlier in the week. We were talking about Kane is one of those guys, and we've been watching Kane now since 1997. This is his 15th year in the WWE, okay? Mm-hmm. He's one of those guys that can turn any sort of shit thrown at him, and we have had a lot of shit thrown by him and at him, into gold. 9 times out of 10, he makes it work.
And all of you know what number 10 was.
That's right.
We're not going to mention it here.
No, yes.
No, we're not going to mention it here, but the goofy, convoluted history that he elaborated on at the anger management meeting, you know, you think about most of those and you think, that was actually pretty cool, that was kind of funny, and I'm going to hell for this, but, you know, this is the third time in 6 weeks that they've mentioned that he tombstoned a priest and I still laugh. I'm going to hell for that, but you know what? You know, you guys are welcome to come with me.
I've got the e-ticket right here. Can't you see?
There you go. There you go.
It's nuts because it's just like, and you want to know something? You know who's the understated of this? Dr. Shelby is the understated third wheel in this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he, as I said, he's the, you know, granola eating Prius driving psychologist who you all know, and he's playing the stereotype, but he's playing it perfectly well. The actor is phenomenal.
I've enjoyed his character. I'm waiting for him to completely lose his mind because he's come so close a couple of times trying to keep these two in line.
Yep.
You were going to say, Forth?
No, I was just laughing because, indeed, it's one of those Shelby is just going to explode one day. And they're going to tell him to use some of his own methods.
And actually, I'll throw this one out there for you, Tom. When we had those two in the ring with Edge on SmackDown, when he decided that he would, you know, when Sandow came out? And then Edge, you know, worked his magic on top of their chemistry, where Edge starts riling up the crowd. You know, you want to see Daniel Bryan wrestle? You want to see Kane wrestle him? You want to see Daniel Bryan? Yes, no, yes, no. Just, you know, crazy.
Yeah, very crazy. It was a lot of fun to watch on TV when it came off really good when actually watching it. So I liked it. It's a lot of fun.
Edge has still got it.
He's never lost it. He never lost it.
No, he hasn't. Even with the haircut. Damn it.
Oh, that'll grow back in a couple of months.
But you know what also is growing with Edge?
What's that?
His Twitter army.
Ah, yes.
Oh,
that's,
yeah.
Yeah. See, that's the one thing I'm surprised he did not put in with his cheap plugs besides his current acting duties on Haven. Edge has finally acquiesced to having a Twitter at Edge Rated R, if you are interested. The man put it up just a few days ago and has how many followers now, Jason?
I will look as of right now. Hold on.
He had 75,000 the other day.
Yeah, Edge Rated R. Hold on.
Way more than I could ever hope to have.
86,942 followers as of about midnight East Coast time on September 22nd.
Jeez.
In 3 days.
Impressive.
And that's just how quickly the word got around. And, you know, I know he hasn't posted much, but, you know, go ahead and, you know, go ahead and follow him and send out a shout. Make sure you hashtag Edge Army or hashtag 5 second pose just to make sure just to see if he's listening.
I will say it is weird that Bully Ray beat him to Twitter. It feels weird to me for some reason.
Yeah, Twitter, TWITTAH.
That's how Bully Ray would say it.
That's like how a New Yorker would say it, and I think Bully Ray is from New York.
Yes, he is.
Very much so.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, he is. Oh, yeah.
Very much so.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of voices, we've had some new voices at the announce table. As WWE well recognized that there is no way on God's green earth anybody is going to listen to Michael Cole solo at an announce table. They did us a favor and they dialed up JBL, who was willing to drop by to at least do the pay-per-view and Raw. We also had the good graces of JR coming by and joining them at the table, but I think JR had a hard time getting a word in edgewise between JBL and Cole.
I think it's just because JBL and Cole, their dynamic is just too, there's just something about they're too perfect together to try to put someone else in. That they just feed off each other, that the other person is just there. I hate to say it, but
it's a shame that JBL is not sticking around, because despite the rough start at the pay-per-view, he fell into it within two or three matches. He sounded really good by the end of the night, and he was in a rhythm when they got him to the table on Raw. So but it sounds like he's back on the road. I recall Cole mentioned during SmackDown that he's on his way to do his second mountain climb. He's going to do Kilimanjaro.
That's very bold of him.
So, you know, more power to him. And, of course, more power to Mr. Lawler, who got to go home on Monday, courtesy of Vince's private jet.
Swag, that's nice.
Lucky bastard. So, yeah, he's home resting up, and Cole will be interviewing him next week, probably, you know, via satellite. I don't see Lawler hitting the road just yet. As we had mentioned on last week's show, Tom, I think you remember, we're thinking that if Lawler shows up to do any announcing, he'll do it in Memphis.
Mm-hmm. I think they're going to wait until Memphis anyway to see a to see, like, just like the way for the what am I trying to get at here? Jeez.
English, sir, do you speak it?
Apparently not tonight.
Well, I'll give you a second to gather your thoughts.
Pause for dramatic effect.
Okay, what I meant to say was they'll wait to bring him back until Memphis. That way it's in front of the hometown crowd, and it'd probably get the biggest pop of the night. No doubt about it.
Now, I'm hoping that Lawler will be healthy enough for this. But, okay, so Jason, with JBL not available, do you think they'll put JR at the table again next Monday, or do you think they'll just have Josh Matthews doing double duty?
It's a 50-50 shot. I don't mean to push there, but if you get Cole and Lawler until Cole and JR until everything gets back, and Cole in his new pretty much face role, because he hasn't done jack since Jerry had the heart attack, if I remember correct, if I've been looking, he hasn't said anything negative, right?
As he was more than tolerable tonight on SmackDown. Him and JBL, you know, as we said, worked very well together. So no, I haven't had a reason to mute the last couple of weeks, and I very, very much appreciate that. I hate the fact that, you know, when we do have a problem with a show, or any kind of problem, even outside of wrestling, somebody's practically got to die for change. Yeah.
Unfortunately, yes. And the thing is that Cole is still playing the babyface. I still think we might get JR for one more week or two, or, you know, sort of as the fill-in role, you know. And by the way, again, this is the scenario I think we will have. when this happens on SmackDown. JR will come out, you know, he will introduce in the ring, and Cole and Lawler will hug on air, pretty much ending everything that has happened over the last couple of years. Pretty much. That's the way I see it.
I wouldn't mind seeing that.
I would like that very much.
That would be awesome.
Now, let's see. Speaking of the IR, we've got a couple of guys out getting some surgeries done. Starting with Cena, as we had found out that he had some bone chips in his elbow that did require an operation. Now, amusingly, WWE.com decided to post that he would be back in 2 to 3 weeks. Now, we all believe this just because of what happened with his neck surgery a few years ago.
The man no sells neck surgery, so it would be pretty easy to think he'll be back by this coming Monday.
And so Tom, you know, when you first heard this, did you believe it?
I wanted to. I wanted to believe that he'd be out a couple of weeks because it's natural to have to take some time off from the road to recover from injuries like that. I mean, I wanted to see Cena heal properly so that he can come back and not rush himself, if you kind of get what I'm saying. Like, maybe we get a different main event for once.
So,
as far as the next pay-per-view, sorry.
Okay, no, you're fine. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, John Cena gets wind of this. And I have the quote here, Jason, so allow me.
Go for it, because it's hilarious. It's classic Cena. It's very funny.
Cena finds out that they're telling everybody that he's going to be back in 2 weeks. Well, and I quote, some hashtag jackwagon from WWE.com apparently posted me recovering in 14 days. I spoke in depth with Dr. James Andrews, and he specifically told me due to the amount of fragmentation, 6 weeks is a safer timetable for recovery. I apologize on behalf of a website whose credibility is now equal to The Onion. Please, WWE web guys, get your monkey freaking facts straight. You folks have my word. I will try my best to get healthy as quick as I can, and I'm sure I won't stay away from Raw, but as of now, I am supposed to stay low for 6 weeks. I will send surgery photos and video to WWE so they can see how bad it really was. I am also sure that if WWE took a second to reach out to the surgeon, Dr. Andrews would have gladly commented. Hashtag internet malpractice. Okay, I am now off my soapbox and back to being just a one-armed man. Enjoy your day.
Silly Cena can be funny sometimes.
Sorry, folks. Goofy Cena is still best Cena.
But yeah, how do you not do that? I mean, seriously.
I reiterate. The man no-sold neck surgery. And, Tom, I know you heard me tell the story earlier, but I'm going to tell it again. The fact that I was in Pittsburgh a couple days after he'd had the neck surgery, and a fan tells me that Cena's in the building, and I told him he was lying. And down the line, there was a video package. I forget where or when it was aired. Where somebody, you know, where one of the wrestlers even said that here we were setting up in Pittsburgh and Cena walks in the door.
It was Batista, if I'm not mistaken.
Wouldn't surprise me. And just, you know. So, kid, if you're listening to this podcast, I'm sorry. Did you at least get an autograph? Anyway. So Cena's laid up to let the elbow heal and let his ankle heal, but he, you know, he seemed all right on it during the match. I didn't see him limp much, but then again, I'm still boggling middle rope German superplex with bridge.
Yep, that seems very hard to believe that we saw that, but we saw it. It is what it is.
ROH, ROH. Anyway.
Yeah, oh, and by the way, ROH, you really need to get your act together. There was an internet pay-per-view this weekend called Death Before Dishonor, and there were... Oh, jeez. Wow, okay.
What? Wait, what?
Trista had some very bad words for Mr. Matt Hardy.
What did he do this week?
Yeah, what? Now what?
He's now in ROH.
Oh, well, there goes the promotion.
Yeah, I know. yeah, well, no, but supposedly most of the people did not see half of, like, three quarters of the show because of internet problems.
No surprise.
Yep.
But we're getting off topic. Let me get us back to get us back in the proper direction. Anyway, somebody else who's been laid up, but probably not a whole lot of people have noticed, is that Alex Riley is out right now getting some work done on a knee and an elbow. And he didn't give a timetable, but he did post on Twitter that he was going to be out for a little bit, he'll be back. He was in, at least he was kind enough to warn us. Let's see.
Don't really have much to say about A-Rai, because I don't watch Superstars, and that's pretty much where he's been.
I forget to go looking for Superstars, and I forget to go looking for NXT, and shame on me, because that seems to be where most of the cool stuff's going on.
Yeah, that's pretty much where the work rate is at this point.
But to that, I want to point out something that kind of came together between these injuries and a few things that we've reported in previous episodes. As you know, Christian is out for a little bit to heal up some niggling injuries and, of course, do his TNA date. Also, the Big Show has been off TV for some scheduled vacation. Now, as somebody who has worked in the wrestling business, vacation is a very non-existent word because as independent contracts, an independent contractor, if you're not working, you're not getting paid. But it seems WWE is opening the door for letting a wrestler, if they happen to be between storylines and such, to take that time off.
Interesting.
You know, maybe they were kind of pointing it out to us with the little segments back on the Labor Day show with Punk's smart-ass personal day and Jack Swagger's medical leave.
Possible. I don't see why that wouldn't be in the realm of possibility.
And so, Jason, do you think this is actually some kind of you thought it was some kind of paradigm shift?
I do. I really do because, and I'm also going to also put it and add a little bit of a political bent to this. Because, as you know, they do not want to look like a bad company, especially like a Fortune 500 company. So what they are doing, and I'm not saying that this is coincidental, but you understand that there is a political bent to it, I think, where you're going to see more wrestlers take, a couple weeks here, a couple weeks there when a storyline finishes and get their body to heal. You know, they're not going to push the 300 days until, things like that. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to see more of this eventually. It may not be... immediate, but it's going to take years and years that you will see this.
Mm-hmm. Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Well, it's just like I said, guys. Though, since the wrestling business is wired in such a way that vacation time isn't something, you know, isn't something that's part of your part of your benefits package.
That's true. I mean, you're on the road like near almost all year. It's like you probably get like 30 to 40 days at most away from the business to be with your family, and it's a hard business. And I'm glad that these vacation times are starting to come, and because it might keep the in-ring product from dragging down because of injuries and such.
And the I think the other thing, Forth, is just the fact that WWE probably finally has that kind of that luxury, because they have such a since the roster, if you count most of the guys that are running around, even on NXT and Superstars, we've got a deep roster to play with.
Very.
Yeah.
I just wish that maybe they would actually get to use them a little bit more.
That is definitely true.
Baby steps, Jason. Baby steps.
I know.
Besides, we've got speaking with these kind of baby. One of the other baby steps we're looking at is the fact that WWE is being much more demonstrative in the causes they support, as evidenced by John Cena's new merch and the replacing of the middle rope with pink.
Mm-hmm.
This is not tribute to the Hart family.
In fact, if memory serves me right, tonight Natalya's gear had no ounce of the color pink on it.
I don't recall, but I know that the they did that with the middle rope. John Cena's got the new Rise Above Cancer t-shirts, the pink hat. Insert your own joke here. And the fact that they actually have the logo. Logo for the Cure on the ramp. You got to look quick, but it is there. And in, I guess rotating out with the Be a Star ads, they're putting in the breast cancer survivors ads
for the Susan G. Komen Foundation, which is the charity in question, which is going to get a lot of bucks from the WWE for this promotion over the next 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And to this, speaking as a female fan, I think this is something that's going to catch the attention of not necessarily, other female fans. The female fans are here already, but any male fan with a girlfriend who's like, "Why do you watch this?" might actually sit down and say, "Hey, maybe seeing these guys beating each other up is not that bad, and these guys are supporting a cause that I support."
Mm-hmm.
So, and by the way, ladies, once again, muscular guys in their underwear beating the shit out of each other. This isn't hard.
Come on, ladies.
It's that simple. I've tried to explain that. I've explained that to anybody who's ever asked me why I'm a wrestling fan. This isn't hard.
Hey, come on, ladies. There's more lady fan potential out there. Don't screw it up.
They're working on it. They are working on it.
Yes, they are.
So, call for more romance angles. cue any of a million one-liners from the Big Valboski.
Bring back Valvinus.
No, bring back John Morrison. That Him will guarantee too. You more female fans.
Damn right.
Someone's channeling deep, Ryan.
Yeah, yeah. As I hear yes, 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 and yes from the chat from the chat room. Okay. Actually, there was a lot of that takes me to Raw. There was a lot of other win going on this show. The birth and death of Ms. TV. No. First of all, as most of you guys know, I'm not a huge Miz fan. Tom, I'm guessing you watched this. What did you think of the show before the second guest came out?
I thought Miz TV was gonna stick. I'm pretty disappointed that it didn't. It would have given Miz something more to do, and I'm always for more. As much as I am a proponent of the in-ring product, you need to have really good talk segments as well, and this would have been one of them. I mean, come on.
And fourth, given Miz's reality show background, don't you think it would have played a little bit better, or do you think part of this might have been Booker T's fault?
No, I think it would. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
All right, it would have played off a lot better because Miz has the reality TV experience and he already knows how to capture an audience. Why interrupt that? Why stop giving him the chance to do that?
It's really Randy Riley, Jimmy. The chat room needs to be part of this show.
Buzzing tonight, Nikki. It is buzzing.
So, but you know, I realize that what should have probably been a very good talk show was just had an amazing ending. Watching the second guest, Mr. Ryback, physically pick up the couch up over his head and threaten to throw it in the third row.
It would definitely be one of the two funniest things that Ryback did that night.
That's true. I'm getting to the second one. But the fact, like I said, he almost got that couch in the ground. First couch, he almost got cold.
Now that takes strength.
And, you know, just the fact that I have enough trouble pushing my couch. I don't even think about picking it up.
I was hoping he'd pull a George the Animal Steel on the couch. Good one, chat room.
Actually, yeah, pulling the cushions off one at a time and ripping them to shreds, and then taking the frame and throwing it over the top rope. Oh my goodness! But yeah, there's just so much there. Just somebody that freakishly strong, you could have so much fun with. And apparently they decided to have some more fun with him later on in another little promotional segment for Subway. Okay. Nothing is going to top Straight Edge Society Punk demanding Jared from Subway.
Jason's gone.
and Jim, if you ever find that soundbite, get me Jared from Subway, from Punk.
Chat room's right. I think Jared is getting a little chubbier. I think he's not been eating his Subway lately.
Or maybe he's eating a little too much of it lately.
Yeah.
He's not going with the flatbread veggie. He's going for the double meat big pastrami. That's got better flavor. Anyway, then we, you know, with various, you know, various wrestlers showing up for
sandwich, basically
showing up for sandwiches, including Mr. Sandow, and of course Ryback. Which, you know, this is the expected joke.
They went for the obvious joke, and it worked. Who knew?
Obvious joke is obvious, but it's also an inside joke. Who posted the Al Snow video in the group?
I wish I could take credit, but it wasn't me.
I think it was Tyler.
Okay. I'm calling it an inside joke just because of a story that Al Snow apparently told from Ryback's Tough Enough days. Mm-hmm. If you guys remember Silverback Reeves from Million Dollar Tough Enough, same guy. But apparently the Feed Me More thing is actually a partial rib back on Ryback, because somebody to maintain that physique does need to have a lot of calories going through his system. Because that muscle just is a furnace. That's just going to take, that just takes all the nutrition. They said that they would, Al kept talking about how they would go somewhere and he'd be hungry. He'd want to eat something, or, if they put out snacks, you'd see him with, with armloads and food in his pocket. And they would make him put stuff back. And just the fact that, I think at some point that, one of his moves should be a bite. You feed me more? Okay, fine. He needs to bite you on the arm or something. Oh.
Okay.
He has been interrupted. It seems our illustrious GM is dropping by. What in the world? Huh. This is news I did not have. I'm going to find out where he's getting it from. WWE may have done it again and has all but made superstars disappear statewide for WWE.com. I'm checking his source on that. Okay. This is directly from WWE.com. To that I say, there's always that potential that they're gonna try to get superstars back on TV.
Well, don't you remember? Isn't that new show?
Saturday Morning Slam?
No. The other one, that's supposed to start next month on ION.
Okay. No, that's probably. But I know that's not the only thing he wants to talk about, so let me check in here for a little bit. Nikki, it was really cool to see your uncle do something that I've never seen him before. And that is actually run without having somebody chasing him. Bastard. He actually got off the ground for that high five.
He got good hang time, too.
Let's see. Just for the record, if you really wanted to know about that referee from the main event on Raw, you'll need to talk to him. Talk about this kid, Brad Maddox. Ooh, that'll give us something to talk about here in a few minutes, guys. We're going to have to take a short break here. After all, we have sponsors, and we've got other things. We've got a lot of stuff to shill. So. Restrooms are open. Grab yourselves a drink. We'll be back in a few minutes with more news.
You're listening to the North American Wrestling Connection on the CLW 83 Network.
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW ROH and ECW announcer Eric Gargiulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at. Williams Wear is now a part of the CLW 83 Network and is proud to offer official CLW 83 Network merchandise. Go to williamswear.clw83.com. Click the CLW 83 Wear button and browse through an ever-growing, ever-changing selection of items dedicated to your favorite CLW 83 shows and websites. The BS Big Show, the NAWC, Game Show Garbage, and many more. All available at williamswear.clw83.com, the official online store of the CLW 83 Network. Tune in and shop right now.
Maybe you're a 49ers fan in Jacksonville or a Jets fan in Houston, and you're looking to connect with fellow fans from hundreds or thousands of miles away. Look no further than FanJunkies.net. FanJunkies.net is a social networking site dedicated to fans of every team and every league. Connect with baseball, football, basketball, and hockey fans from throughout the country and throughout the world. Get the latest news, take polls, and interact in live chats on game day. And best of all, it's absolutely free to join. Sign up today at FanJunkies.net. FanJunkies.net, where sports meets social networking.
The pennant chase is on, and nobody covers baseball like CLW 83 Network's Touch 'Em All. Join Jim Williams and a panel of baseball pundits for analysis and insights on all things Major League Baseball, from the latest news to thought-provoking discussions. If you want to truly cover all the bases on the road to the Fall Classic, you have to Touch 'Em All every week in September and before every round of baseball's postseason this fall on the CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
Hello, this is the game showman, Joe Van Ginkle, and you're listening to the CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
Joe Van Ginkle, get out of my f***ing head!
And we are back on the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. Nikki Heyman here with Jason Block, Tom Delgado, and Forth. Just before the break, I had mentioned that we had a new referee working in the WWE. Now, I only inquired this week, but I had noticed he had worked matches in the last two or three weeks. Apparently, he is also a wrestler, and his name is Brad Maddox. He is the poor soul who apparently made the bad call during the main event and had CM Punk chasing him all over the building after the camera stopped rolling. I really don't know a whole lot, you know, I don't know too much about the guy, but do you think they would go further with an angle since we know that he is also a wrestler?
Maybe. I mean, it benefits him that he has that background, so if they want to get physical with him, they know he can take it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's one of the advantages over that.
Well, most referees at least start as wrestlers. One of the best examples I can give you is Charles Robinson.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Go ahead.
No, I was just agreeing with you. Indeed, I mean, I had never heard of Charles Robinson being a competitor, but...
Well, this goes all the way back to the late 90s. See, the reason he got the Little Nate nickname is because he actually did the shtick.
Ooh.
For a couple of matches. You need to find these matches. He actually was in a match with Randy Savage, and... what had happened is that he had gotten injured. I think it was he had torn up his abdominal muscles and just could not perform as a wrestler. But he had already had the training, so at least he could stay to the business as a referee. Mm-hmm. Much like Teddy Long bounced back and forth from being a referee and a manager.
Point.
Let's see. Maddox, if this is the right guy. I've got the right guy. Worked in Ohio Valley for a couple of years. This unfortunately, my notes that I've grabbed from Online World of Wrestling only go up to 2010. So I see his name listed for Florida Championship Wrestling. So there's a chance, you know, I think there's really a chance that they might do more with him in an angle if Punk wants to keep going with this, because they did some extra footage that they aired on SmackDown where, you know, Punk was being restrained by AJ and the rest of the referee corps, at least for Brad alone. And he, you know, Punk made the comment, you know, see, even the referees don't respect me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's shuffling.
Every day I'm shuffling. Can't believe I just sang that.
So you can no longer can take it back.
Oh, that's going to come back and haunt me somehow.
So, let's see. The other... The other new face, NXT has gotten a new announcer, a gentleman named Tony Luftman, who I unfortunately do not know much about, short of what I read on WrestleChat.net, which you should visit on a daily basis. Although, admittedly, it looked like it was down earlier today, but that doesn't happen often. While he announces for NXT, he also does voiceover work for Saturday Morning Slam. If his voice sounds familiar for any of our West Coast listeners, he's worked as a host for the Portland Trailblazers and a sideline reporter for the Memphis Grizzlies. So he's got the sports chops, but you know, I don't think this is a guy I'm going to see at a announce table anytime soon.
Yeah, it's... No. I have not heard of him at all.
Let's see. And according to chat, he calls St. John's Sports up in the New York area. So, Jason, you might have caught his voice somewhere.
Might have. I don't necessarily listen to the St. John's radio. But I will have to check him out and check out his voice.
And you also read the post. Oh, wait.
hey, now! okay, just
because... somebody got the joke.
Okay, just because I read the New York Post and occasionally watch Fox News doesn't make me a total ass, okay? Okay.
Yes, but you're a New Yorker.
I admit it. I'm an asshole.
Yeah, well, sorry, Trista. Yeah, I know. Hate me because I'm beautiful.
Wrong show, Trista. Wrong show.
Show. Yes. It's okay. Anyway.
So... And we're not going to get into that. If you want to understand what I mean by wrong show, go you chase Jason all the way over to Red State Blue State.
There you go. Thank you.
Okay. Anyway. Enough plugs. Now, unfortunately, I'm going to have to bring a little bit of bad news forward. It started as a rumor, but unfortunately, we have found out it is true. The Divas division is going to be short. Unfortunately, one of the more capable divas, Beth Phoenix, will be stepping away from WWE effective the end of October, which makes me quite the sad fan, because I really enjoyed her work, especially in 07 and 08. I really did.
Well, you want to know something? I think that the whole Beth Phoenix thing, I think that she came off, you know, so strong. And then, of course, you know, she broke her nose early. And by the way, who is the amazing boyfriend? I just need to know. Oh wow, there you go.
Ooh, that's pretty amazing.
That really?
Yeah. I'd say he's rated R.
Yeah, we're not talking Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Oh, okay. She is more than welcome to take that kind of time off. Anyway, but you were saying, Jason.
I was saying that, you know, I think her momentum unfortunately got, you know, slowed when Karma unfortunately, you know, flamed out and burned. Because, if you know, what happened was is that we remember, I think they were setting up for a match for WrestleMania 28. And that was going to be one of the biggest women's matches in WWE history. And it never happened. You know, it never happened. And then, you know, she was just languishing, especially in a, you know, TNA Divas division, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Whoops. But yeah, she's, you know, the fact that she's also had a couple of, she's had some personal issues that she's been taking time off for. Some notes that were sent to me. Good Lord, who is shuffling?
Yeah, I'd like to know too.
WWE sources indicated that they weren't surprised to see the Phoenix had given her notice since she seemed to have been going through the motions over the past year. And we had speculated, you know, before that the Divas division had been in a holding pattern over the whole Karma mess even before and after she was released. And we're only just starting to get back on track with the whole Eve as champion, Layla, who attacked Caitlyn. We already know that, but, you know, just wait for the reveal. Natalya is probably not going to go anywhere. But it's this, unfortunately, the way Beth has been booked, I honestly don't think the fan base is going to miss her.
And that's a damn shame. I'm not going to lie. She's definitely one of the more capable divas, and it's going to be hard to see her go.
Because, as I said, I loved her work, especially the Glamorella days.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere, I still have my picture from SummerSlam with her carrying Santino around on her shoulders. With him waving, I believe, the Intercontinental title and her waving the women's belt, I swear to God, I was waiting for Santino to hold up the women's belt and let her have the B belt. That was all that was missing from that segment. Just their bizarre chemistry, the demonstrations of strength that we got to see from her
mm-hmm.
before she blew out her knee. Just, you know, but she had done so much in the women's division that I can understand if she wants to step away. I'm going to miss her. Tom, it sounds like you're going to miss her.
Indeed.
Somewhere Typho is weeping. Jason, will you miss her?
Very much so, actually. First of all, number one, she's absolutely beautiful in a muscular sort of way, okay? I mean, she is not the typical TNA, T&A diva. She, mm-hmm. you know, she never fit the mold of what the WWE diva was. I mean, they were trying to market her as sort of the next Trish Stratus sort of deal, which really never worked. Mm-mm. And that's the sad part about it for me. There was so much potential with her. So much, you know,
mm-hmm.
wasted, I thought.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's a good point. She did China better than China.
That is true. You know what? That is true.
And to be honest, if, you know, they want it, they, I hope that they at least do something for Beth. They're going to be in Buffalo next week.
Mm-hmm. And indeed, so, if they do give her a send-off, I hope it's like a true honorable send-off and not just one of those, oh, you're leaving, let's embarrass you kind of deals.
Oh, you mean like a Lita send-off?
Basically, yes.
Like basically a burial, and that's not right.
No. Beth deserves at least one last win in her hometown. Ideally for me, I would like to see, you know, I think that if they do, they do anything for her, it unfortunately will not be for the home audience, just for the people in the arena. So Jason, go buy some tickets and go see this show in person.
That's an 8-hour drive.
Okay.
Okay.
It's cool.
And also, it's also the Jewish high holiday, so I cannot drive. So,
no, fair enough. But I think they'll do something for her for the attending audience. I don't think we're going to get to see this.
Yeah, but I hope they'll...
Go ahead.
This smells of a live only kind of deal.
But yeah, I hope they do something for her because she did so much. She was just so much fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
No, it is not going to be like Victoria's. That's my last match. Goodbye. No, I don't think she would do that.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, if I remember correctly, didn't they do, like, when CM Punk had his birthday, or someone had his birthday in Australia last year, that he took, like, every damn finisher or something to that effect?
They, well, I remember that at one live event, I don't know if it was for Punk's birthday or if it was just a general rib, they made him take a locker room full of finishers, including a glam slam.
Yes,
they were dating at the time, which made it even funnier.
Damn it is right there.
Chat room comes through.
Yep. Wow.
So, and apparently, you know, that's just, you know, one of any type of ribs you get, because unfortunately on your birthday, if you are a wrestler, you are going to get ribbed.
It's not going to be pretty, too.
Huh?
It's not going to be pretty.
No, there's some pretty good ones. There's still one out there of from Triple H's birthday where everybody was given a palm-sized cake to throw at him.
Yeah. Well, that's true. If you, yeah, if you're high up. Well, if you remember, there was also during Shawn Michaels' Appreciation Night, The Undertaker spoke and ribbed Shawn Michaels a little bit too.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty funny.
But back on the Triple H cake thing, I am the game. Don't throw your cake at me.
He wasn't their boss yet, so they started throwing.
Oh, and no, of course, Cena with Justin Roberts too. You said there's been a couple of
I have seen one of these ribs in person. Justin Roberts' birthday was at a house show, and during the main event tag match, which, if I remember correctly, was John Cena and Ric Flair versus Triple H and Chris Masters. Ric Flair was Intercontinental Champion at the time. Cena was WWE Champion. Masters takes the fall, but Triple H had disappeared somewhere during the match. After that was over, because it was the main event, Cena gets on the mic and says, "No, don't anybody go anywhere. We got a birthday in the house." They roll Justin Roberts into the ring. He's been hogtied. They stand him up, get the entire arena to sing happy birthday to him. Somebody brings a cake down to ringside. Cena takes it and plasters him with it. Somehow two cans of whipped cream were also involved, which ended up all over Justin and some on Coach, I think, who came out and tried to, I don't know if he tried to stop the festivities or just tried to, you know, just tried to get involved. Ruined Justin's suit. I run into him. I've run into him a couple. I had run into him a couple times since. We came up on a house show close to his birthday, and I said happy birthday, and he went shh.
Yeah.
So if you ever get into the wrestling business, don't tell anybody your birthday. They will find out eventually, and you will be ribbed over and over and over again.
Yep.
So let's see. So back to the news. Let's see. There has been word for our foreign listeners, mostly our European ones, regarding Silver Vision. Now, there had been talk that Silver Vision and WWE were going to part ways, but it looks like this has finally been set in stone. The two will be parting ways at the end of 2012. Jason, do you have any other details?
Yeah, what's happening is that the NWO disc set, if I'm not mistaken, is going to be the last one they're distributing in the UK and in Europe. After December 31st, 2012, there will be no new orders and new stock taking in. The reason why this is such a big loss for the WWE, viewing community in Europe, is what they did was that they added a lot of stuff that we didn't see on the US releases. And, you know, and Silver Vision, you know, this is a long time coming. And this is a big loss. I don't know who their distributor is going to be in Europe now. So, you know.
Given Vince's penchant for control, I'll put money to it that he will probably set up offices somewhere either in London or... No, it would probably be London, because I don't think he's willing to spare Antonio Cesaro to translate if they go to any other country.
Well, yeah. Exactly.
That is a shame, because also sometimes the Silver Vision stuff gets leaked back into the States, and we get our hands on some of this bonus material. Also, I believe Silver Vision stuff wasn't censored.
I'm not sure. Yes, and... yeah, so here's the actual press release. After 22 years after dedicating Silver Vision exclusively to WWE, the WWE and Clear Vision Limited will part company on the 31st of December 2012. Silvervision.co.uk, owned by Clear Vision Limited, will continue to sell WWE DVDs, Blu-rays, and WWE films after this date while stocks last, but we will not be able to offer new releases for sale on our site. SummerSlam 2012, which I believe just got released, and NWO The Revolution will be the last new WWE releases we will be producing ourselves. Clear Vision and its staff are saddened by this news, that we have worked very hard over the years to bring the best possible service to all WWE fans, and we would like to thank you for your continued support over the years. Silvervision.co.uk is looking forward to a new future which will amalgamate all the products and some new programs of its mother company, Clear Vision Limited, on one site. Please be assured this will not affect your current and future orders in any way, and you will continue to receive the same great service. So there you go. That's the statement.
Mm-hmm. It's you know, like I said, I really think WWE wants control of that. I think that's one thing I know WWE does like. They like to have, you know, they like having their hands in and on everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's got their name in or on it. Can't say I blame them. But let's see. What else? One other thing that I have. Oh, and actually, I should have gotten more information about this. Longtime wrestling fans will remember Christopher Nowinski, the first of the Harvard-bred wrestlers, David Otunga being our current one. Tough Enough participant, was still hired, had a brief and bright career, but unfortunately was forced to retire because of lingering symptoms from concussions. Mm-hmm. He is the man behind Sports Legacy Institute, one of the premier organizations that is studying head trauma and the effects on physical and psychological factors in athletes. He released a book called Head Games in the last couple of years, and somebody has gotten their hands on it, and they're going to make a documentary.
And it just was released today in limited release, and it's also on video on demand. It's called, and the website is headgamesthefilm.com. See the film, which I will put in your box right now. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right there. Take a look.
Thank you.
It's on iTunes on demand, Amazon Video on demand. So if you have that, it's on. You can watch it on your PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, DirecTV, and it's in a bunch of cities. It came out in New York. Trista, who's in the chat room, you're in Toronto. Am I correct? I believe you are in Toronto, right? Toronto-ish. It is running for 1 week at a place called The Royal, and it's also in Saskatchewan as well. It's doing a bunch of cities: Boston, Los Angeles, New York, Toronto, Chicago, Boston, Winnipeg, Calgary, Pittsburgh, Nashville, Regina, Saskatchewan, Columbus, Vancouver, Seattle, and Denver. But you can catch it on video on demand as well.
And unfortunately, I can't get my hands on it. Oh, well.
But he just had an interview yesterday. He said that he can't drive without a GPS. I can't exercise without getting a headache and without feeling sick. He doesn't have a patience. I don't have the patience I once did. I take a stimulant for my cognition every day. The days I forget to take it, I notice it. I don't even know what my own baseline is anymore. I don't know if I'm any good without medication. The biggest misconception about concussions, that they don't have long-term consequences, and once you feel better, you're fine. You may not be fine and need to rest and let your brain recover. Secondly, we have to face the fact that some athletes are developing a degenerative brain disease known as CTE, or chronic traumatic encephalopathy, or something like that. The brain is more fragile than we realize. And he also gets, as you also know, athletes to donate their brains to study concussions. And I will tell you something, and I've said this on the show before, and Nikki, I believe you concurred with me on this. This mm-hmm. guy is going to be a major proponent in extending athletes' lives. This guy is going to be a huge part of that fact.
Yeah, and it's something that, you know, it's something that I've, you know, looked at. It's something I would like to take, you know, further interest in. I, you know, as somebody who has had a concussion in the past, and I had a pretty good one, I always wondered, you know, have I done long-term damage to myself? Granted, it was only one concussion, but it was not a fun drive home.
I bet.
Driving home 2 hours after bouncing my head off a mat, puking my guts out, part of that was from the workout,
mm-hmm.
and then navigating with blurry double vision. I didn't have any medical at the time, and I went to the urgent care a few days later, and they told me I had a grade one. They said it was a grade one. It might have been even worse. I don't know. I'll never know.
That's got to be scary.
It scared me, and that's why I went from wrestling to managing and refereeing.
Mm-hmm.
Because on top of my concussion, I have nerve damage in my neck. So, you know, who knows what the next thing would have done.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this man is going to do so much for current and prospective athletes and could very well change some things when it comes to football, wrestling, hockey.
Soccer.
Soccer, potentially. Just to see how much of this, how much damage has been done. And even with all the protection that these guys wear, given the physical, the improvements in physical conditioning, our bodies have not caught up to take the full force of the intense contact you see in a football game.
Mm-hmm.
Or when a fight breaks out at a hockey game. Hell, when a fight breaks out at a soccer game. I mean, or when a soccer game breaks out at a fight.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you also know, I mean, look at also what the wellness policy has changed and what has changed since Nowinski came out. I mean, we have seen people like Randy Orton, Rey Mysterio, and others be taken out of pay-per-views due to concussions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they wouldn't do that years ago, even 5 years ago. They
exactly.
wouldn't do it. And I mean, and it's, you know, it's wild. But when I want, you know, when I'm watching the ECW unreleased stuff and I see these unprotected chair shots, I cringe.
They are cringeworthy.
Well, that's because now you know, and that's where this is, you know, because this is where it all comes in. In the wrestling business, this is another paradigm shift going back to something we were talking about earlier. Guys wouldn't report concussions because that would take them off shows. That would cost them money.
Mm-hmm.
You don't talk about being hurt. Everybody gets hurt, so you work through it. And that is another huge paradigm shift that is going on in WWE and going slowly in TNA. But after that huge drop-off, if you're injured and but you can still go, as it were, you go. And unfortunately, that's just the way the industry. That's the way the industry works. It's going to be a long time before the independent scene can take that kind of care on with their workers.
Yeah, it's going to be.
But I mean, but how many independent promotions are going to pay for health insurance? You know?
No, because you're an independent contractor. You get your own bloody insurance.
Mm-hmm. That's how it is.
The promoters, might let something slide if you give them enough notice that you're hurt and you can find a way around it. I mean, I'm going to use – this is a silly example, but this is still going to work. This still kind of works. When I worked for a small group in Chillicothe, I had donated blood earlier in the day. And when I got to the show, I went up to the promoter and I said I wasn't going to be able to help with teardown. And I showed him the bandage on my arm, which was, you know, a couple wads of cotton wrapped with red gauze. He looked at that and he says, don't worry about it. You know, I normally don't ask you anyway, but, you know, I've seen you out here helping us and don't worry about it tonight. And they also gave me, you know, they also had me do light stuff for the show. After the show's over, I'm sitting talking with him and I show it to him again. And he says, what in the world happened to you with that? And I said, I just donated blood. He says, oh, I thought the gauze was blood-soaked.
Oh, man. Wow.
I said, if I'd known you were thinking that, I'd have just turned it into a great big rib. But, you know, like I said, most promoters, if you give them enough notice, they'll work around you if you have an injury. But at the independent level, if you're hurt, you're not getting paid. It's that simple. And you'll see rare exceptions like earlier this year when Dustin Reyes broke his leg.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The promoter actually put some money his way to help him out because Dustin didn't have any insurance. But you're not going to see that at a lot of promotions. That just doesn't happen. But it does my heart good that we're at least seeing this at the top most level. If WWE can at least, you know, lead the way on that, because it's going to take a little kicking and screaming to get TNA to do it. Ask Daphne. But it's going to have to happen. Or we're going to be stuck in this same loop where we're going to lose guys way too soon.
Took the words right out of my mouth.
So I hate to end it on such a down note. So I need some good news. Does anybody got any good news? Do not make the Geico joke or I will boot you.
No. I'm trying to think.
Is anything happening?
In my brain? Well, you know, I'm just a good news. Actually, if we want to bring the engineer in, let's end it with this. Jim, if you could open your mic for a sec.
Yes, what can I do for you?
No, actually, I think the good news is what you auditioned for today. I think, you know, remember we keep saying Jim Williams is the best audio guy in the business.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, which is true. So, you know, tell us about what you did this week, which I think is awesome.
Okay, it has nothing to do with wrestling, but are you assuming the thing I did Thursday?
Yes, okay. Exactly.
Well, two nights after SmackDown was held in Philadelphia, I guess that's the closest tangent I can come to wrestling. I auditioned for the public address opening for the Philadelphia 76ers NBA basketball team. I was one of something like 115, 120 people who auditioned for the gig. Humbling experience. It was a 3-hour wait, a 3-hour tour. In the catacombs of the Wells Fargo Center, and I got to. I mean, it was. You want me to go for a full story here, or you want a synopsis, or what?
Just a synopsis.
Yeah. Well, after being put into two holding areas, one the officials' locker room, and another was another locker room, not unlike the ones you see the superstars in. So, I could have been in the, you know, the Rock's locker for all I know, sitting there. No. Got to do my thing, got to lend my voice to the arena for all of 2 minutes. An empty arena, but you know, it was just a humbling experience. So we'll see what happens.
We've got our fingers crossed for you, man.
Well, you know,
good luck, man.
If it happens, just, great. Yeah, if not, absolutely. It was a dream come true just to audition. So,
well, just if once you get the gig, don't forget the little people.
Little people. You mean,
dude? I'm 5 foot nothing. I'm about as little as it gets.
Pony.
Oh yeah.
No.
Hey. No.
And I've been brought down to size once again. Thank you. Doesn't take.
See, there we go. That's the way we should end the show.
Oh yeah, thanks. See, that's what Jason was going to get all along. I know his evil mind.
Well, aside from your gig, Jim, do you have anything to promote?
Sure. Listen to the current edition of Touch 'Em All. We're doing shows every week during the pennant chase, the rest of the regular season. And next week's show, which will be up Wednesday, I believe, we'll talk more about the AL East race, the news that Major League Baseball ain't leaving Fox or TBS anytime soon, for better or for worse, probably for worse. Can Tim McCarper really announce the age of 80? That's, I guess, what they're trying to, you know, ascertain by the new move. So we'll talk about that and any other interesting bits and bytes from the world of Major League Baseball. Of course, the BS Big Show every Thursday during the season. You know, all sorts of good things on the website, clw83.com. In the words of a good friend of mine from Levittown, PA, tacos.
And yes, Jim, on that note, we'll also be talking about Melky Cabrera taking his name out of the batting title.
Well, he didn't do it willingly. Baseball said, you're not going to be able to stake claim to it. Yeah.
Well, and they said, all right, fine. And then there you go.
Yeah. Maybe talk the MVP races as well, because that's getting interesting, especially in the American League. You can make a case for two or three different guys. Cabrera, Trout! I'm sorry. Hometown boy. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. Jason, I'm sure you have something to promote.
I do, actually. Of course, my occasional appearances on Touch 'Em All, BS Big Show, and the shows that I do appear on, of course, this one occasionally. And, of course, Pixel Nation with Mr. Brian Henniger, hit him with a folding chair, and my Red State Blue State with Ethan and Jim. I've been having a blast doing all that. I also just want to promote the fact that, today I did something pretty bizarre, but I'll do it anyway. I'll promote it anyway. I have a friend of mine. Her name is Katrina Davidson. She lives in Edmond, Oklahoma, and she's suffering from a very, very rare form of cancer called Langerhans histiocytosis X. Only 3,000 people in the world have it, and she's one of them. And there's really no cure for this thing. So when I went to my hairstylist today, I just basically said, screw it. I don't have much hair to begin with left. You know, thank you, genetics. So I decided to just go the whole way. So right now I am pretty much bald as Stone Cold Steve Austin and or CM Punk during certain days. So and I'm enjoying the fact that I have no hair on my head. But I'm also doing it for a specific reason. And I love you, Trina, and keep kicking cancer's ass if you can.
Absolutely.
So there you go.
I'm also amused by the fact that Jason said hair stylist, singular.
Very good.
Welcome to
Thank
the Bald
you,
Brotherhood, sir. Yes.
Yeah, there you go. That'll work for me.
All right. Tom, you got anything to promote?
Just my usual appearances on Touch 'Em All and my... I would think bi-weekly appearances on the BS Big Show. And whenever I come on here, it's always a real fun time. I gotta admit, this is the most fun I've had since for a long time, actually. And I just gotta thank everybody involved with all these podcasts.
You're very welcome. Fourth, Fourth, you got anything?
Just Typho Show on the other place still on Tuesdays.
Get over here, Typho. Sorry.
Yes, please.
I do want to wish him luck in his upcoming venture, and I also have BRM Show to promote, which we're still kicking ass after about 4 years, so.
Wow, you go all the way back 40 years. Amazing stuff.
Yeah. I was trying to say 4 years.
I was going to say you're using some of those computers Henniger talks about when he does the email setup. Okay. Sweetness.
I was the guy that invested in NEC.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that was you.
I have some stock in Enron if you want some.
And while... Let's see. While I am, while I normally do not promote my own show, I will let all our listeners know that you do need to tune in next week. I am I'm working on a story regarding some fireworks that are going on with NWA and its many now ex affiliates. Mm-hmm. I'm planning on having more of the regular rabble on the show. Unfortunately, I don't think it's going to be anybody here who has an open microphone. No offense.
None taken.
It's cool.
So, gentlemen, thank you once again for putting up with all of my nonsense, especially Jim.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah. Of course.
Therapy.
Best pony. Hey, wait a minute.
So, for Jason Block, for Tom Delgado, for Jim Williams, for Fourth, and for the rest of you who put up with our nonsense tonight, my name is Nikki Heyman. This has been the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. See you next week with more news.
If you have any questions or comments about this podcast, please submit them to clw3network@gmail.com. This has been a presentation of the CLW83 Network. Tune in!